Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. I'm Brent Henderson, and remember that we are the resistance. Well, it's a rainy Tuesday, and I was getting gutters installed on my house starting yesterday, and half of them are replaced, and it's pouring rain. Great time to be inside. Great time for us to have an awesome conversation. And if you're tuning in for the first time, I want you to know something. This isn't a show for perfect people. This is for the broken. This is for the bruised. This is for the bold. And those of you who are still breathing. So hopefully you're listening. That means you're breathing. This is for those maybe being tyrannized by the lies of the enemy. Maybe you've lost hope. You know, maybe you've been being judged. You're feeling shame, or you're being shamed for sin in your life. Maybe you've been cast out. You've been shunned. You've been discarded. And for anyone who has been told you're disqualified because of your sin, this episode is for you. There's a wound in our churches, and it's a silent wound, and it's screaming for healing. And more than half of your church is affected by this wound. You probably figured today what we're going to be talking about is a very difficult and sensitive emotional topic, and we're talking about the big D, you know, divorce. And I want to start today by saying, you may be divorced, but my friend, you are not disqualified. If the enemy has been beating you up with your past or other people, hear me loud and clear. You are not your past. You are who God says you are, period. You are a child of the King. And that King, Jesus, walked into the very depths of hell, ripped the keys of death and shame out of Satan's hand, and then he walked out of the grave holding one thing that would rescue his children, an unstoppable, unrelenting, never-ending love. That's for you. It's a love that moved mountains, crossed the widest sea, defeated death and hell. And it's all because he is madly in love with you. Last week, I touched on worm theology, that we are lower than worms. If you are a child of the King, you are his beloved. He is in love with you, and he has a plan for your life. I want you to let that sink in before you listen to anything else that I've got going on. I want you to take a deep breath. Because today, by the power of grace, you're about to breathe again. You know, that wound that we don't talk about, you know, I never imagined I'd be one of the victims. Never in a million years. I couldn't even think in my family, maybe one case kind of far removed where there was a divorce, but, you know, my parents loved each other for almost 60 years, buried side by side, went to church, we ate meals around the table, went camping, just family I'm so grateful for. You know, many of us didn't have that kind of a family. You know, I think the one thing, if I could go back and I could say to mom and dad, hey, if you could talk to me about one subject, it probably would be something around the lines of when couples argue, because I never heard my parents have an argument. No, I'm not saying that they didn't. I'm saying they never let us see how to do it. And so, because everyone's going to have a disagreement, and you have to learn how to be able to share your side, listen to their side first, and then you can share your side. But we have to learn how to be able to do that and understand this. We're on the same team, and we have to learn how to pin the tail on the donkey, which is the enemy, not on each other. Because the dissension, the lies, all those things that are happening, the enemy is the author of it. You can go back to we look at John 8:44, where Jesus says, you know, he's the father of lies, and when he speaks, there is no truth within him. We have to learn how to identify the lies, the things that are coming between us, and care enough about each other in the way that God has cared for us. I am a divorced man. I am a Christian leader. I am a father. I am a husband. I wanted to say I'm a former pastor. I guess you could say on staff at a church, because I'm not anymore. I'm still in missions. I'm connected with World Renewal. That's what I do full time. I'm still ordained. But because of my wounds, Many of you know my story. I've shared it before. And the strongest wounds that I had were coming from the church. That's not unusual to many of you listening to this. I'm not talking about Christ, the church. I'm talking about people that are broken themselves, that don't know how to handle pain within churches, whether they're parishioners or whether they're on staff. When we get lies twisted in our head, we can do exactly the things I just talked about, you know, guilting, shaming, shunning, judging. And I would say, you know, because of my wounds, like I said, strongest ones coming from the church in my life, something that, you know, every now and then the enemy will just come right like a bee sting and hit me with it. I hate the enemy. I love the church, but I hate the lies that have been twisted into many theological positions to really make people feel like they are less than when they're not. When God cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, he either meant it or he's a liar. And he says, he doesn't keep any record of it. So the direction God kind of took me, I think, is to speak into so many lives that I couldn't do if I was a member of a church staff. I'm not saying that I wouldn't ever be again or that I'm against that. I'm not. Here's what I'm saying. I'm watching where God is moving and then I'm joining him in it. Henry Blackaby used that in his Experience in God book. You know, watch where God is at work and then join him in it. I'm probably more like a SEAL team member, you know, who goes behind enemy lines. God has equipped me with unique skills, which I can say because of my life stories, all from him, to go places that the church struggles to have a voice. And I don't go to take people out, right? But I go to help them to silence the one who took them captive and is still holding them captive with shame, with his lies. I have worked with thousands of men who are broken that struggle with the church because of the way their pain was handled. I get it. And this is an issue that we have to look at closely if we are truly going to call ourselves believers in Jesus, and we have to learn how to walk at the speed of Jesus. Jesus didn't drive a car, right? He didn't fly a plane or fly on planes. He walked. And when you walk, you begin to notice things. Not just your surroundings, but the people along the way. He saw their struggle. He felt their pain. He listened to their stories. He fed them, and he brought healing into their lives. I was married for a little over 28 years. I have two children of my own. And when my marriage ended, it didn't just break my heart. It shattered parts of my identity I didn't even know I was clinging to. You know, I had nightmares for several years. I would find myself curled up in the fetal position because of the pain that comes. You know, when God says he hates divorce, it's because of the pain that it causes to everyone involved. He brought us together under a covenant. And when it happens, it doesn't mean that you're disqualified. He hates it because he knows it's really going to sting for years. Like I said, I had nightmares. I wrestled with fear of what other people's opinions or what life is going to be like after. You know, it's all that stuff that many of you listening understand what I'm talking about. And I felt the shame, and it settled into my bones. Like a cold winter. I've watched people who have known me for years turn their backs. No questions asked. You know, I was investigated by the denomination that I served, which is fine, great. But I remember when I showed up to that, what they called this clergy investigation, it was assumed there had to be something else going on that would have caused it. And you have to sign a waiver of this investigation before you even start, rather than someone coming and saying, "I am so sorry. Tell me your story. What happened?" I mean, I understand the accountability side of that, absolutely, especially those who are in leadership. But I think it was the way that it was served up is almost like guilty before, you know, anything else. And my pastoral credentials at the end, they weren't revoked. They weren't frozen, but they were questioned. But it became more and more difficult with others who didn't know the story. I think many of us can speak to that. They don't know. And I don't necessarily like to, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I'm not going to. We all have our responsibility and issues. But the aftermath was so difficult for me. I had been a studio singer for 30 years. And there were some producers that no longer invited me to be a part of their Christian studio sessions. That hurt. You know, the ones that I knew that weren't Christians, they weren't even thinking anything except, hey, sorry, man, you went through that. I get it. I'm so sorry. And now I was ignored by people that I once called my family. I even had a former family member who wouldn't even look me in the eye, let alone shake my hand. I remember when that happened, I was at a photo shop here in town getting something done, and it was an ex-relative that was in there, and I immediately called his name and walked up to him, and he turned his head and walked straight away from me, in someone who was a believer. And I went out to the truck, and I got a hold of Stacy, and I said, man, that hurt. I said, that didn't feel like a wasp. That felt like a wasp the size of a football. And she said, remember what you always say to me? He's buying into his own lies. And she was exactly right. Just recently, in the last week and a half and up to 3 months, I lost both my ex-mother and father-in-law. They both passed away. I think one of the hardest things for me was I wasn't able to grieve that whole thing, you know, with them or say goodbye. And to, you know, my new family, I don't know how I used to call. I still have, obviously, my old family, but I'm saying they don't know the stories. They didn't have the relationship. So it's kind of hard to grieve with them or in front of them. It's just kind of awkward, as you can imagine. And I think the deepest pain of the divorce, beyond anything else, was watching my own kids struggle. You know, one of them even stopped communicating with me. I understand that things changed. Things are no longer the same. It's different. And sometimes the only thing that heals is time. It takes time. And this is the pain that people don't see. You don't understand that the person who's gone through it, they are hurting. Every time they walk out the door, it's going to be, well, who's going to turn away from me? Who's not going to talk to me? Who's going to judge me? And this is the church's silent wound. We have to talk about this. And because the wound isn't really being addressed very much, except that God hates divorce, you know, when more than half of the people sitting in the church pews have experienced divorce, it has become an epidemic. You know, it's like a massive wound. It's wide open. It's hemorrhaging. But no one wants to go near the person who's hurting to try and really bring healing. And that person is bleeding out. Trust me. And, you know, we talk about grace, but when it comes to divorce, we often leave people bleeding in the shadows. It's like, if we don't have to see them, we don't have to deal with it. Well, how's that working for you? Thanks. Right? That's how you feel. But in the second part of this podcast, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about judgment and what it misses. You know, you can be faithful for decades and still be erased by a whisper. People who once cheered your marriage now don't even know where to sit when you walk in the room. That's how they act, at least. They try to not be close to you because then they're going to have to be in conversation. Well, Jesus would have been sitting right beside you. Thank you very much. You know, churches hold marriage retreats and men's conferences. But for the divorced, there are some divorce recovery workshops. But there's a lot of silence around this issue because it does bring in so much pain. Well, here's the truth, and this is about judgment, because I've faced it. I know I've judged people in my life, but once you've been through some of those things where you really do hit bottom, that judgment is almost gone in your own spirit now, because you realize what you went through, and you don't want to do that to somebody else. That's actually a good place to be. You know, judgment is just unconfessed sin that's rotting in someone else's throat. You know, people love to say, I'm standing for truth. But Jesus didn't just stand for truth. Listen, he stooped low to carry grace. We don't, you know, need more truth defenders, you know, right? God's word stands on its own. And we don't need those truth defenders that are standing there just stones in their pockets, you know, ready to start throwing these things. We need men and women who are brave enough to stoop low like Jesus, to wash feet, to break bread, to remind the broken that you still belong. You have not been disqualified. Because if God really did, like I said, cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he says he remembers them no more, He either is a liar or he meant it, and we both know that God is not a liar. So, as I move into the last section of this, I want to say something. I'm sorry that if you've been through the pain of divorce, no matter who filed, no matter whatever happened, everyone is hurting. It isn't a cutting. When a divorce happens, it's not just a cutting. It is a ripping and a tearing of families. I want to read something to you that I wrote recently. It's from the upcoming Unleash book that I've been telling you guys about. You're going to love this book. I've been reading it at bedtime with Stacy, and it's just so powerful to get us both on the same page. But I believe that this is someone who's listening right now that needs to hear this, and that's why I wanted to read this. To the one who's been divorced, you are not disqualified. You're not second class. You're not an outsider looking in. You carry many scars, but they don't define you. God does. Some people may avoid, you know, your eyes in church. They may whisper when you walk past, but your Heavenly Father, He doesn't flinch when He sees your pain. He moves into it. His arms are wide open. His purpose for your life has not changed. This didn't catch Him off guard. The label of divorced may cling to you in conversations, but in the throne room of God, the only label that matters is redeemed. My friend, you are still called. You are still loved. It never stopped. You are still needed in this battle to be a part of the resistance. You are still dangerous for good. And let me say this as clearly as I can. Divorce didn't kick you out of God's story. It gave you a new chapter to fight for others who feel forgotten. You are divorced, yes. It was terrible and hard, yes. But you are not disqualified. So, what do divorce people need the most? And if you're listening to this, whether you've ever walked through divorce, this part is for you. Here's what divorced people need from their brothers and sisters in Christ. That your presence, they need that, not your pity. They need your ear, not your judgment. They need your welcome, not your whispers. Don't treat divorced people like they are a problem to fix. Treat us like people who have a story to tell. And to the one who's been judged, know this. Jesus didn't come for those who had it all together. He came for people like me, people like you. Maybe you've been hiding behind guilt. Maybe it's shame. You know, maybe you've been wearing a mask trying to hide your true identity. You're trying to appease people. You're trying to win back their approval. Maybe it's your friends, your kids, your church. You're trying to get them to like you again, to love you, to include you, to somehow feel worthy again. Listen, your worth doesn't come from them. It comes from the one who made you. And those scars that you carry, those are proof that you've been in the battle. They're evidence that you didn't quit. And that matters because when the enemy attacks someone else, guess who they're going to come to? Not those who act like they have it all together. They're going to come to the ones that they can see the scars. They know they've been there. How did you make it through this? How did you rely on the Word of God? What did you do to walk through all this stuff? Because they know you've been there. Because they know you know how to fight. Because they've seen your scars and they trust your strength. You are not a failure. You are a fighter. You are not disqualified. You are being recommissioned. You've got battle scars, but warriors always do. I want to pray with you guys because I know this is a painful thing. And I know many of you are tuning in and going, yes, I needed someone to say that out loud. So let's go to our Father. Father God, for the man or woman who's listening, who has felt discarded, ashamed, that their voice has been silenced, remind them right now that you never left. You haven't removed their calling. You never changed your mind about their purpose. Because if it is true that you have cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, you don't keep a record of it. So, Father, heal those places that shame has stalked us. Quiet the voices of judgment that ring in our ears that are so painful. Father, raise those listening up again, not as perfect people, but as redeemed warriors. In Jesus' name, amen. If this episode has really spoken to your heart and you know someone else who's right in the middle of what I'm talking about, still struggling with this, I want you to share it with them so that they know that they're not alone. They need to be empowered and encouraged and equipped. So if you believe in the message that we're bringing out and what we're doing here at Unleashed, we really need your prayer support for the content that God would keep directing these messages. And you can also just reach out to me. Go to the Unleashed Men website. You can get a hold of me through there. Tell me the things that mean something deeply to you, what you want to have. If there's any comments, questions, please feel free to do that. You can also click on the About tab and you can select the Donate to support the ministry. Like I said, we are a part of World Renewal. It is a 501c3, so it is tax deductible. And it is really your generosity that keeps equipping men and women to live out their purpose that they were made for. And we're not afraid to go in and talk about some of these subjects when no one else is. We want to make a difference here at Unleashed. And I want to end this with a powerful way. You may be divorced, but you are not disqualified. Pick up your sword and keep swinging. We'll see you next time.